Right,
let's pray.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask that this Bible study be a blessing, Lord, that we are able to open up your word, starting in the book of John. Father God, we ask that you anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see, and for the Spirit to touch our innermost being. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. John chapter 1, we'll read the first couple of verses, then we'll go back over and look in depth at them. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same carried a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh in the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own received him not. But as many as he received, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even them to believe in his own name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory was the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We'll stop right there, just those first 14 verses. In John chapter 1, we have the one of the most essential truths in Christendom is we have Jesus, God the Father, and many Christians believe in what we call the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Here in verse 1, we see God the Father and God the Son. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, when people say that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and that He was God, and that there's only one God, they understand it the best way, is if you imagine if you had a stick of gold, just a solid stick of gold, 100% gold. And I said that entire bar was a gold bar, okay? Now, if I were to strip apart away from it, like if I were to cut down a small piece of it or a portion of it or to break it in half, that is still, now as I was saying, that if you have that gold bar and it's 100% gold, or whether it be silver or anything, if you were to take a piece away from it, you could still say that's the same gold bar. It's just another piece of it broken apart, but it still belongs to the same. So when you look at the scripture, in the beginning was the Word, we find that Jesus always was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Just like if you were to have two pieces of the same pie, they all come together, but Jesus Christ is not the separate part, but just a part of God being manifest in a separate way. So the whole pie, you can have eight pieces. It was with God, it was God, it's all in the same, from the same makeup, from the same content, meaning that Jesus Christ was not anything separate than God. I'm a makeup of my two parents. Jesus Christ was a total makeup of who God was, and that's the bottom line. So it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we find that the Word, we find out, is Jesus Christ. The dunamis, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. The Logos is what it means in the Greek, meaning God's Word. And the Word was the truth, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the same, in the beginning, was with God. So we find that before the worlds were made, before the earth was made, before man was made, Jesus Christ always was. Before anything was ever made, Jesus Christ always has. Now, we learn later on that at some point in eternities beyond, that Jesus Christ is said to be the only begotten Son of God, meaning that He's the only begotten, meaning that at some point He was created, in the sense of God said, this is my only begotten Son. Out of God's self, He took His spirit, His nature, and put it all up in the sum of Jesus Christ, the entirety of the Godhood. So it says, in the same was the beginning with God, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life means the Zoe, God life. there's two types of life. You have like animal life, which is more like soul, and then you have God life, which is the very life of God. So it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we know that Jesus Christ, not only in Christ is there life, there's also light. And if you have life and you have light, then you can see and you can function. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What that means is just like a flashlight would shine into something, sometimes people that are in the dark, they look back at the light like, what's going on? If you ever catch someone doing a dark act, or a police officer walk up on a couple that, you know, getting to know each other, flash that light in their eye, they're like, what's going on? And that's the attitude that many had when Christ came in the world. They were blinded in the sense of they didn't understand what was going on. They didn't understand who Christ was. They didn't understand what was about ready to happen. So it says that they comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name is John. The same came for a witness and to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. Now anytime, this is a good scriptural truth, anytime there's something of God, there's always proof that it's of God. If someone says, I'm a man of God, there ought to be proof that that person is a man of God. If someone says that they're anything, there ought to be proof. So we have this fact, that God sent a man whose name was John. And the same came for a witness and to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. So God sends Christ, but before he sends Jesus, really, he sends John to testify, saying, the light is coming. There's going to be a man that was made before me, who came before me, and this way, when he comes, just know that I've already told you that he's coming. And it's kind of like what Jesus said, know that I'm coming, so when we see Jesus coming in the clouds, we'll know that he told the truth, and it's the fruit will be that he's coming again. So in verse 7 it says, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was so that the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So we learn John's place. John is a messenger. He is a light. He's a type of light, but he's not the true light. He's not Jesus Christ. He's simply a messenger on the king's behalf. And he's got the king's signet. He's got the anointing of God, but he is simply there to proclaim the light. Just like the church is to be a type of John the Baptist, proclaiming that we're not the light, but that Jesus Christ is. And for a purpose. The purpose of John was the same purpose of the church. We are to be a witness and to bear witness that Jesus Christ is real and that he's died and that he can save all men. So verse 7 says this, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into this world. He was in the world, and all the world was made by him. And the world knew him not, but he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them that he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we learn this. John was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light, so that when Jesus came, he would light all men that come into the world. So that means from the time someone's born. We understand that the world is made by Christ. And he came to his own, meaning that when Jesus did come into the world, this is telling what the Bible does time and time again, is it'll tell a story beginning to end, and then it'll go back and fill in all the pieces, all the in-between things, that it happens. So we learn that John the Baptist come, and we're going to learn more about John the Baptist later on, but he comes, he bears witness about Jesus, tells people that Jesus Christ is the way, and then even though the people know that Jesus is it, when Jesus finally does come on the scene, they don't receive him. They reject him. They don't even, they don't believe. And therefore they reject him. So it says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Imagine this. You make a creation, or you create something, and then the creation doesn't even recognize the creator. The entirety of this world is this way. God the Father, God the Son have created the entire world, but now the creation does not recognize the Creator. Imagine Jesus, the one who formed you, who made you in the womb, he walks up to you, and you don't even recognize he's God. And that's exactly what has happened. The Creator is being rejected by his creation. And we learn that again in verse 10. He was in the world. He came to the world. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. The same thing that he made. Sometimes we make things, and what we make does not resemble us. If I was to make a sculpture of myself, and I'm not a sculptor.
Ventilators.
Say, if I'm not a sculptor, and I try to make something in my image, and I don't have that gift, it's not going to resemble me. God's creation didn't resemble his work, even though it was meant to. But he gave his work free will, and the free will ran amok, and God's creation didn't even recognize him. So it says he came unto his own, but his own received him not. He came to his own people. His own people, what I mean by own people, is out of all the nations that were there, God chose one nation, Israel, to be his light to the world. He took Israel, gave Israel his commandments, gave Israel his word, brought Israel through the wilderness, established a temple, all for his people. He gave instruction. And at the same people that he had this constant communion with, the people that should have had the sense to recognize and to know that he was the Messiah, were the same people that were so ignorant that they could not even recognize him. Imagine if I give you a book that says the Messiah is going to come in such and such a way. I'm going to send a messenger before I send the Messiah. The Messiah is going to come and say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And you have all these scriptures, all these letters given to the men by God through prophets and priests of the Old Testament. And then finally someone comes along that fits the description and you don't recognize them. Like as a blind date, almost.
But that description didn't mean nothing to them.
Correct, because they took the description and they changed it to what they wanted it to be. Meaning, God gave them a word and they twisted the word to make it what they wanted. They wanted a king to come in and overtake the Romans. They didn't want their king coming in on the back of a donkey. They wanted their king coming up with a horse and chariots and fire. So when Jesus came meek and humble and born in a manger and not coming straight down from heaven like they pictured in their imagination, they didn't receive him, even though the word that God put in this earth bear witness of Christ. In verse 13, it says, back up to verse 11, he came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even them which believe on his name. Now, again, this is like in this first couple of parts of John, we're learning what the whole book's about. This is the introduction that John is giving, telling you this is the preface, this is what I'm going to break down and explain in this book, is the whole story. He came to his people rejected him, but those that didn't reject, those that did believe, he gave the power to become the sons of God. What type of power is that? What type of power do you have to become a son of God? You have to have God's power, God's life, Zoe, the same life that we learned about in verse 4. But the life of God being imparted to man is what enables someone to be a son of God. When you believe in Christ, he asks and says, I will come and make my abode in you. I will come make my dwelling in you. And whoever God dwells in is considered his son. Amen. But as many as received him, to him he gave the power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. So here we have the salvation message again. All you have to do is believe in Jesus to be saved. All you have to do is believe in God. It's that simple. Which were born not of blood, nor by the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. In this verse we have, to become a son of God, it's not necessarily about you being born through natural manner. It's not necessarily because you are a prearranged birth. He's saying to become a son of God, you can't really be born of blood.
No.
You can't be born of the will of the flesh. You have to be born of God to become a child of God. Nicodemus asked, you know, how can a man be born again? Jesus said, lest a man be born again, he'll no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not born of water, as many are brought in the natural realm in a woman's womb, but born of the Spirit, meaning that you died and have been born again through faith in Christ. So we're in verse 13, he's saying, as in conjunction with verse 12, but as many received to him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So we learn that no matter how much effort you may have in your genealogy and your bloodline or what things you might be able to arrange, the only way a person can be born again is by the will of God.
But people don't believe that they can see.
That's true. But people have an issue of believing things they can't see. But that's why Jesus said, blessed are those who that have believed and have not seen. But there's a world full of Thomases. There's a world full of those that say, God, if you're real, do this for me and then I'll believe. And sadly, that's true.
No.
But Jesus gave people every reason to believe. All right, so back to where we were. But as many received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor by the will or of the flesh, nor by the will of man, but by the will of God. And the Word which was made flesh and dwelt, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and beheld his glory in the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here in verse 14, we see that the Word that was with God, we see that the Word that was God, took the shape of a man and was made flesh by being born of a woman. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He cometh after me as preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we all have and were received, and of grace for grace. For as the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Here we learn a central truth. If Christians could have the humility of John, we get a lot places a lot quicker. John realizes his place. Sometimes people don't realize their place. We try to get before God. We try to act like we wrote the book. We try to do things our way. But John recognized the call of God in his life. Not everybody recognizes the call of God in their life. John recognized that God had a plan for him. God's plan for John was to bear witness unto Jesus Christ, to make his way straight, to tell people that Jesus was coming. And then when Jesus came, John realized that he's not it. Just because God gives you a message, and just because he gives you a word, and just because he gives you a calling, doesn't necessarily make you or I or anybody it. John says in verse 15, he said, this is whom I spake that cometh after me, is preferred before me, for he was before me. John recognizes that Jesus is the creator. Though in the flesh, John was the first one to be born, Jesus was in the spirit long time since. Meaning Jesus has always been around. And even before Abraham was, Jesus says, I was. And before the foundation of the earth, as I said earlier, Jesus was. So John recognizes that though I'm first in the flesh, Jesus Christ always has been number one. I simply was born before him because my job was to prepare the way, to till the ground, to get it ready for Jesus to come. So that's correct. So when Jesus came, it's just like he was the town crier. Behold, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Getting the people ready. So when he came, Jesus would not have to do all the groundwork, because the ground would already be broken and prepared for his arrival. So verse 16. And of his fullness we have received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So we learn here that of the fullness have we all received the grace for grace? And that simply means we received by Moses the law, so that we knew right from wrong and what God expected and what God didn't expect. But through Christ, not only do we have the law understood, but we have the law interpreted. So remember, in the first couple books of Matthew, Jesus takes the law of Moses, and he rightly interprets it so that you and I might learn how to live not under law, but free from law through grace in Christ. So as where Moses could only give commandments that brought about death, Jesus gives a commandment that brings about life. And we call that life grace. And grace simply means unmerited favor. But it says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, just like I was saying, in the bosom, we know exactly where Christ came from. Just like a woman with child can say that she's pregnant and has got a child in her bosom, Jesus Christ was in God, so he's seen God, and he came out from God. And they're one and the same. There's no difference between the two. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared by him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied it not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then, art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou a prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said unto him, who art thou, that we may give the answer to them that sent us? What sayest of thyself? He says, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And when they were sent were the Pharisees, and they asked him, Why thou baptize, if thou be not be Christ, nor Elias, neither the prophet? John answered, said, I baptize with water, because there standeth one among you whom you know not, and this who is coming after me is before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to loose. So, again, where the scripture is going now is John has declared his purpose, he's declared what he's supposed to be about, and now we learn in verse 18 that the only one that's ever seen God is Christ. But now we look in verse 21, John had quite a following. People were looking and saying, who's this man that's out there preaching and baptizing and all these people? So he was unauthorized in a sense. So the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and the leadership at that time, they sent ambassadors to go see who this man was, because they weren't necessarily, he didn't come up in the traditional way of the Pharisees or the scribes. He's just a stray cat, to say. He's someone that didn't come out from them, someone that came directly from God, and they frankly say, who are you? Are you a prophet? Are you the Christ? And John could have said a lot of things. He said the truth. He said, I'm not Christ. I'm not a prophet. I'm just a man crying in the wilderness. And we learn that, verse 19, and it says, in this record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. When they asked him, what then, art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou a prophet? And he said, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou that we would give an answer to them that sent us? And what sayest of thyself? So he says, I'm not a prophet. I'm not the Christ. I'm just John. He said, I'm just a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, saith the prophet Elias. And they that were sent of him, of the Pharisee, they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou art not be the Christ, nor if Elias neither be a prophet? John answered, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not, who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latch and I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabia beyond Jordan when John was baptizing. So his answer was this. They asked him, who gave you the commission to baptize? Who gave you the commission? If you're not a prophet, if you're not a priest, if you're not a a Levite, why are you doing this? And his answer is pretty much, I'm doing it because that's what I'm told to do. And while he was doing that, Jesus was amongst them. In this same scenario, this is how dumb the people were, or unknowing they were. And he said in verse 26, John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there is standing one among you who you know not. And John's attitude is, this one that's standing among you is so holy, I can't touch him. I'm not even worthy to touch his shoes. I'm not worthy because he is holy. God is holy, 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 and John recognized Jesus Christ as God. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is the one whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that there should be manifest to Israel. Therefore I am coming baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not until he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom shall you see the Spirit descending and remain on him, the same as he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. So we find a little bit more of the story, how John knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. It's a funny thing that God sent John the Baptist to bear witness of Christ, but then God told John the Baptist, here's how you'll know it's Christ. Here's how you'll know that the one that is the Messiah, the one that has the Holy Spirit, here's how you'll know this is the fruit that you want to see, to know this is my only begotten Son. God told John, when you see the Spirit descending like a dove and rest upon this man, you'll know that he is the one. So John had seen this. He had seen this happen a little bit earlier. He'd seen the Spirit come down on Christ, and that way he knew. So when he saw Jesus coming, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, who comes to take away the sin of the world. He says, This is the one, I know it, because the one who sent me to baptize, the one who sent me to preach, the one who sent me out in the wilderness, gave me this sign. That one, that when you see the Spirit descending and remain upon him, the same as he was baptized with the Holy Ghost, verse 33 in chapter 1. And I saw him bear record that this is the Son of God. And again, the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And his two disciples heard him speak and followed Jesus. I would hope that churches learn this. Some churches are built around a pastor. Some churches are built around the church organization. Now, some people like members coming to church because they can help support and fund. But John is saying, I'm only here to prepare you to follow Christ. It's kind of like Paul would say, follow me as I follow Christ. He's saying, I'm not him, but I know the way. And then once you see Jesus, once I proclaim that that's Jesus, even though I brought you a long way, it's time for you to leave me and go with him. Leave me and go with him. So that's exactly what happens. John says, you know what? Here's the master. I've just been a help, but now the real deal's here. And his disciples that are with him left him. And that should, you know, be our hope that people, when Jesus comes, they leave us and go right for Christ. And Jesus turned and saw them, following, and said to them, What seek ye? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that night. For he was about the tenth hour. Verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first defined his own brother, Simon, and said to him, We found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. And now here's a true disciple. They believed in John so much that though they selves had not seen the Spirit of God descend upon Christ, they believed in what John said. They took the preacher at his word and went and told people about Jesus. There are some in the church that might not ever see a great sign from Christ, but they got to take the one that has seen at his word. So John saw Jesus, he bare witness of Christ, he He said, this is the one, you got to believe it. Even though you have not seen it for your own eyes, I've seen it. So here we have Andrew. He's going to spread the gospel. We found the Messiah. We found the Messiah. Come. He went to his house first before he did anything else. Verse 41. He first finds his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is being interpreted a stone. And here we have Peter, one of the chief disciples here, or to be. Verse 43, the following day Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew, and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said, can there be any good thing come out of Nazarene? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth, it says. Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, who knowest thou me? Jesus said unto him and said, before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. This man believed in Jesus, simply because Jesus recognized him afar off, to where that Nathanael couldn't even see Christ. But even before the disciple went to get him, it just goes to show that God knows us by name. We don't have to know God, but God knows us. Nathanael didn't know Jesus, but Jesus knew him. And there are a lot of people. There are a lot of people that don't know God, but God knows them. But the bottom line is, you can't be saved until you come to Jesus for yourself and learn about Christ and follow Christ for your own self. So Nathanael, he believed simply because first the other disciples came to him and said, we found the ones the law spoke of. That was one thing that bared witness, because his friends are telling him. And then another thing came to witness, Jesus knew him. So he follows. Go ahead.
Yes, I say, you know, he saw him for all, so therefore he believed in Jesus. Tell us, Lord, since he's seen him for all, he had to be who he was.
That's correct. In verse 51, and he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That was Jesus saying this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the heaven open, and the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And that's the truth. From that point on, in the book of John, Jesus really starts his ministry. And we learn more and more about what happens in Christ as the following chapters. And we're going to go ahead and stop with chapter 1 tonight. And just to look on what was all in chapter 1, we learned that Jesus Christ was with God, was God, just like that piece of gold. They're one and the same, a piece of a pie that was all together. Jesus Christ came into the world that he created, and his creation didn't even recognize him. But some did, and those that recognized Jesus Christ, the Son of God, like John, like the disciples that followed, he gave them power to become the sons of God. And then we learned that Jesus goes on, and John the Baptist bears witness, and he tells people that Jesus is coming. And then John recognizes that he's not the light, and tells people that Jesus is the light, and Christ's ministry is solidified, is verified, has been borne witness of. So now he goes out and makes disciples. But notice, Jesus didn't start making disciples until his ministry was confirmed, in the sense of God bear witness, this is the Son, through John. So that witness made it proof that here's the one. Just like people that get married, they get that document. They have their witness, but then they have the proof. And after that point, we see Jesus going out, and in chapter 2, we'll find the first miracle that he does in the book of John, and that's turning into water into wine. But we'll go ahead and stop with chapter 1 tonight, and we'll try to do a chapter each week that we come here. Sometimes that won't be possible depending on the length of the chapter, but any questions, thoughts, or anything?
some of them felt John was
Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I didn't get Messiah and Christ mixed.
Uh-huh.
Twisted in my mind. Yeah, they felt John was the Messiah too. Before John broke down to him that he wasn't.
Yep. And that's the truth, that John wasn't. People would like to believe in something different. It's easy. And John was definitely something different, not to your normal priest or your Levite, but someone crying in the wilderness.
And he seemed to have the power to do all those things too.
Yep. And God anoints those that he has called and has chosen. Jen, any thoughts, questions for chapter 1?
Well, I wasn't really here, so.
All right, well, let's close out in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time in your word. Lord, we go further into your word each day. Father God, we ask that you open up the scriptures that we might see the light and that we might understand your creation better and learn who you are as the creator, Father God. In you, there's life, there's power, there's joy unspeakable and hope. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.